We'll say good evening to everyone who's come to the Sunday School Social tonight. You're very, very welcome. We're going to begin and sing together a very well-known children's hymn, 695. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. That's a good singing. Let's all stand to sing. Seated. We want to bow together and have a wee word of prayer as we commit ourselves to the Lord for this very, very special night with the boys and girls of our Sunday school. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow together in the presence of our God tonight, we do so through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the Savior and the Redeemer of men, God's dearly beloved Son. And we thank you that we can come to your presence and ask for your blessing. And that's what we want tonight. We want the blessing of God to be upon this Sunday School Social, that you'll help the children take part in their various pieces, and that your name will be magnified and glorified, and the message that is brought later on will be used of the Lord to speak to our hearts. We thank you that we've been singing tonight about the great love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can say with certainty as we look at your word And we see the great history of the Bible that Jesus loves me. He loved me so much that he came into this world to be my Savior. We think of the great Apostle Paul. He was able to say he loved me and he gave himself for me. And we know that that was the great demonstration of the love of God towards mankind, that Christ gave himself to the cross, to the death of the cross, and he shed his blood for our sins. And Lord, we're so thankful about that tonight. And we rejoice that we can have a knowledge of sins forgiven, and we can come to know this Savior. We pray that he will speak to our hearts and help us to understand those things that are so important. Hear this, our prayer, for we ask everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. There's very, very little announcements to make, really just two. And one is to welcome you. And we're so glad to see all who have come, the children, of course. And then if you've got mums and dads, grandparents, brothers and sisters, anybody else, friends that have come, because you're here tonight taking part, we want to give you a very warm welcome, and those that are joining us on the internet as well. And just to mention that refreshments will be served. All right, so as soon as this is over tonight, there'll be something nice to eat for everyone that is here, and we hope that you can stay. So we're going to go immediately to the program tonight, and we're going to have a piece now entitled, My God is So Good, and Daniel was a man of prayer. And this is a singing piece by Arthur McCauley, Carson Craig, and Joseph McLaughlin. As we would say, the Wayans.
Thank you.
That was so important to get that word shut. Isn't that right? God just shut the lion's mouth. I don't think you realize how much talent and harmony we have, even among the wee ones. And there, Julie in the background, you know, helping as well. We could hear her also. Thank you, children. We're going to have a recitation now entitled The I Ams by Zach McConaughey, Eloise McCauley, Emily Walker, Daniel Gibson, and Nancy Christie.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says, I am the bread of the life.
Jesus said, I am the tree vine.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world.
Thank you, children. You did so well. I'm coming down here because I want to see what's happening, and you can hear me just the same. So I really appreciate them taking part. The story of the jelly bean, that's next. And this is a recitation and singing by Daniel Newell, Daniel McClelland, Michael McLaughlin, Tyler White, Elijah Walker, Harry Moore, Michael McClelland, Jaden McGugan, and Austin Craig.
Black is for our sin, the wrong things we have done.
Red is for Jesus' blood shed for everyone.
White is for a clean heart when in Jesus we believe.
Gold is for the home in heaven Jesus promised we'd then receive.
Green is for the growing that happens inside.
Purple is for the King of Kings who did salvation provide.
Now you heard the story and you know what each color means.
This is the story of a father's love as told by Jelly Beans.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me one.
Thank you, gentlemen. Just thinking, if you got a jelly bean that size, it would take you a long time getting through it, wouldn't it? Really appreciate that. Well done. Train Up a Child. This is a recitation and singing by Quinn Hannah, Willow Craig, Charlotte Thompson, Susanna Park, and Holly Keane.
Chapter 23, verse 3.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old,
he will not depart from it.
Get the technology.
I can count one, two, three. I'm here to do.
Thank you very much, ladies, for taking part tonight. Now we have the choir, the children's choir of the Sunday School, and we're going to ask them to come and sing Jesus Loves Me. It's a medley, and little by little. So the Sunday School choir, thank you. These all go up, do they? Just as the rest are sitting down, thank you to the choir. You did so well. Lovely. We have a piece now. It's a little sketch entitled, Why Do We Go? Now, a couple of children were not able to make it tonight, so Rebecca will be filling in their place. But we have Leah Elliott, Daniel Archibald, and Kai McClure. Oh, you don't have to fill in. Rebecca doesn't have to fill in.
Hi guys, where are you going?
We're on our way to Sunday school and church.
Oh, I believe in Jesus, but church and Sunday school takes far too much time on a Sunday.
Well, what are you up to, Daniel?
I'm looking at my football card, Ronaldo. He was born on the 5th of February in Portugal. He almost scored 900 goals. He used to play for Man United and Real Madrid. His favourite food is Portuguese fish.
Daniel, you say you believe in Jesus. What's his stats?
What do you mean?
You know how he was born, who his disciples, some of his miracles, and how he died.
I think one of his disciples was named Noah.
Not even close.
Daniel, when you stand before God, what do you think will matter more? How much you learnt about Ronaldo, or how much you learnt about God's son and the time you spent telling others?
Wow, I never thought of that. Mind if I join you in church and Sunday school?
Good choice, let's go.
Romans chapter 10 verse 20 asks us, how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? If they have not heard, how can they ever be saved?
The Bible also says in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 that you should grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Saviour. That's why I come to Sunday school, so I can know more about Jesus.
Thank you very much, children, for again doing so well. A piece entitled The Harvest. Now, this is a sketch by Andrew McConaughey, Casey McGuckin, Charlie Borland, and Alex Kane.
Wake up, boys, it's time for the harvest. Wake up, I said, the harvest is ready.
Don't be silly, it's still 4 months until the harvest. I'll help you then, but not now.
No, just look at the fields, they're ripe and ready for the harvest.
That sounds like a lot of work, and I'm really tired. There's bound to be others to help. I think I'll just stay here in bed.
But the harvest needs brought in.
Don't be silly. I don't think I'd be any good at harvesting. Have you not someone else to ask?
It looks like rain today and it's quite cold. I think this is a day for inside jobs.
Boys, stop making excuses.
am I going to bring all the harvest in myself? The harvest is truly plenteous, but the labourers are few. Pray thee, therefore, the Lord is in of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into the harvest. That's the answer. I need to pray for helpers.
I think she's right. The harvest does seem to be ready now. I think I should go and help her.
I'm not really sleepy anymore. I think I should go help too.
I've been out in worse weather than this. Those other things can wait. But now it's time to do the harvest.
Jesus warned his disciples not to say, yet there were 4 months until the harvest, but to open their eyes and see, look onto the fields that were ready to harvest. In the Bible, Jesus told us to go and teach all nations, and he promised to be with us always.
Will you make excuses or will you go and work for God today?
We're God, everyone, it's time for the harvest.
Thank you, Casey, and to the young men. Good message to waken up. It's time for the harvest. We have singing and a recitation now entitled The Bible. And this is by Cassia Park, Christina White, James Watley, Ellie Hanna, Priya Rose Horner, Crystal Mark, Cohen Milligan, and Eva Taylor.
The Bible is the greatest book that came to us from heaven.
It tells me of the Son of God, who to this world was given.
The Bible is the greatest book. It guides my steps each day.
It tells me he's the truth, the life, and he's the only way.
The Bible is the greatest book that counts my every fear. It tells me of the greatest friend who's always ever near.
The Bible is the greatest book of love. Of love and faith.
It tells me how my Savior died for sinners just like me.
Now, the Bible is the greatest book of all. Now tell me, how do we read this book and on Jesus we call?
Isn't that just lovely? I was just sitting thinking, this is the future word of truth. You know, we have nothing to worry about. We're going to have the Ten Commandments. It's a recitation by Robert Whatley, Reuben Borland, Preston Milligan, and Tristan Smith.
My class will be doing the Ten Commandments because we are all ten. The first commandment says, "Only one God, thou shalt have no other gods before me." This means we do not worship anything or anyone but God, love nothing more than God.
The second commandment says, "Do not bow down to idols." This means do not love or worship anything more than God, not your body or your sleep or your iPad or your phone or even your friends. God is first.
The third commandment says, don't take God's name in vain. This means do not use God's name as a curse word. Only speak God's name if you're praying or praising him or talking about him, and live an upright life if you're a Christian.
The fourth commandment says, keep the Sabbath day holy. This means give the Sabbath day to him and come to church and Sunday school. Do not work, rest as he is rested.
On the fifth commandment says, honor thy mother and thy father. Do as your parents tell you, be obedient and look after them.
Thou shalt not kill. This means do not kill anyone or hurt anyone or hate anyone.
The seventh commandment says, do not commit adultery. This means husband, love only your wife, and wives only love your husband even in thought.
The eighth commandment says, thou shalt not steal. This means do not steal no matter how small or how little. Do not steal time from God's house.
The ninth commandment says, thou shalt not bear false witness. This means do not lie about anything. There is no such thing as even a little lie, even in the jest.
The tenth commandment says, thou shalt not covet. This means do not be jealous of what others have or want what isn't theirs.
Thank you to the young men for reminding us about the Ten Commandments. We're going to sing now and have an offering for the children's work. There's a few more classes to take part. We're going to sing together another hymn, and it's 692. We heard a little bit of this earlier, but it's one of the best known, if not the best known, children's hymn, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And we'll just keep our seats to sing.
Thank you.
be seated. Some of you have maybe played a little game called Uno. So we're going to listen to the gospel being taught through Uno. And Lewis McConaghy, Arthur Newell, Andrew Archibald, and Kegan Milligan are going to come and do this for us. Thank you.
Guys, I'm so bored. What can we do?
What if we play football? But it's raining outside and your garden's like a leisure centre pool.
Then what about going for a swim instead?
We could play a game. We play Uno with my family all the time. It's great fun.
I've never played it before, so I have to explain the rules.
It's pretty easy. Even my dad understands it. The rules of the game are to set down the same colour or number as the card is already down.
What does this one mean?
That means the next person misses a go. They kind of get separated for a turn.
That reminds me of something my Sunday school teacher said once. He said that sin separates us from God.
Yes, that's right, and you read a verse from Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
I think I'm starting to understand this game.
What does this card mean?
That means the next player picks up two cards. They're kind of being punished by the player who put the card down.
That reminds me of something my Sunday school teacher said once. He said that one day we will all be punished for our sins someday.
I remember that too. I think it was Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
What does this card mean? The one with the arrows on it?
That means we change direction. Usually the player on your left takes the next go, but whenever this card is placed down, the direction of the play changes.
That reminds me of something else my Sunday school teacher said. He said that when we ask Jesus into our hearts, our lives will change direction.
That's right. He read a verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new.
This game's starting to make sense, and it's good fun.
Yes, we love to play it when we're together, but I never knew the cards could help us teach people about the gospel.
Maybe we should teach some of our friends at school how to play.
Yeah. Yeah, and at the same time, we should teach them about the gospel.
Thank you, boys. Very good. There's a sketch now entitled Jeremiah Manili's Poem, and it's by Charlie Newell, Kyle Connor, Lewis Elliott, Adam Archibald, Tommy Watley and Jake Borland.
Most of the audience tonight will have heard of the 1859 revival and the prayer meeting in Kells by four young men, which was its forerunner. One of these young men was, this had a great influence in Jeremiah. Jeremiah Manila, sorry. In 1856, a young man, James McCulkin, a close friend of Jeremiah Manila, was gloriously saved. This had a great influence in Jeremiah. Jeremiah was sitting in his farmhouse reading in John 6.
If only I knew I was one of the elect. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There it is again. How can I know I am a forgiven one?
Then he read the second half of the verse.
To me, I will in no wise cast out.
He seemed to hear the words. What are you doing now? Aren't you coming to me?
I see it now.
And he stood up, sure that God had forgiven him too. His friend, James McCulkin, had been challenged reading about George Miller and made his thoughts known to his spiritual friends, Robert Corry, and of course, Jeremiah Manelli. This was the start of the prayer meeting in 1857 in the old schoolhouse in Kells, where they met for scripture reading, prayer, and meditation. They brought peats to keep them warm. One by one, new converts joined the group, and all the men were encouraged to participate as they met for scripture reading, prayer, and meditation.
The meeting grew, and Jeremiah became one of the foremost preachers during the revival. Once after being asked to speak at a nearby hall in Harryville, he ran almost 5 miles to get there. He spoke to vast open-air gatherings. At Dunmull, he spoke to about 6,000. After a fruitful ministry that saw many won for Christ, he died in 1917. Many years later, a poem was discovered in his Bible.
There's a grand time coming, be a good cheer. There's a grand time coming to draw near to Jesus and take us here.
There'll be nae mair sickness and nae mair pains. There'll be nae mair sorrows where Jesus reigns. There'll be nae mair partings with friends again when Jesus will take us home.
There'll be nae mair backsliding or cross to bear. There'll be nae mair divisions or discord there. There'll be nae mair grumbling and nae mair care when Jesus will take us home.
There'll be nae next fawner, there'll be nae days nor years. There'll be nae more doubting and nae mair nor fears. There'll be nae more sighing and nae mair fears when Jesus will take us home.
This verse mentions the Dark Valley. I think it would be fit to the show in Dark Valley.
There'll be nae mair deathbeds or for till brave. There'll be nae more coffins and two more grave. There'll be nae dark valley nor Jordan's wave when Jesus will take us home.
This poem is now sung as a hymn, but there's a warning to us all in the last verse. Know ye and save gens, the warning men, for the Bible tells us, and now you'll find that the unconverted are left behind, and Jesus will take us home, if you are not saved while you come today. Amen.
Thank you very much for bringing us back to the days of Jeremiah Manelli and the great revival that took place in 1859. The Wrong and Right. This is singing now by Haley Jane Gray, Isabella Stewart, Faye Campbell, Lexi McGugan, and Casey Connor. Well, ladies, that was sung so beautifully. Thank you very, very much. Mary Jones and her Bible. This is a sketch by Katrina Nicol, Grace Glenn, Jemima Owens, and Jessica Craig.
That's a lovely Bible, Katrina.
Thank you. I got it yesterday at the Bible bookshop.
Oh, I was wanting a new Bible too. I saw one last week with a lovely cover that I thought I might treat myself to.
How many Bibles do you have now?
I have at least five at home, plus the one I have here, but there's nothing like a new Bible.
All right, girls, let's get into our story for today. It's an interesting one. It's all about a girl, the same age as you, called Mary.
Is this a Bible story?
No, it's actually about a girl who lived in Wales in the 18th century. Her name was Mary Jones, and she had a problem. She was a Christian, but she had no Bible of her own.
Why didn't she just go to the shop and buy one?
There weren't very many copies of the Bible available then, and the ones that were for sale were very expensive. Mary Jones came from a very poor family, but she decided that when she was 9, she would save up for a Bible of her own.
I thought you said this story was about a girl our age. We aren't 9.
Well, believe it or not, our story takes place when Mary Jones was 15. It took Mary 6 long years of saving to get a Bible of her own.
So she didn't have a Bible for all that time?
No, but she did walk 2 miles every week to a farm that had a copy that she could read.
Wow, and to think I have 6 copies of my own at home.
Eventually, Mary Jones had the money saved up, but the nearest place selling Bibles was 26 miles away. But Mary was determined. So determined, she decided she would walk the full 26 miles, barefoot, across the Welsh countryside.
That sounds very dangerous. What did she do when it got dark?
It was, and yes, she did walk in the dark too. But her story says that as she walked through the dark countryside, she remembered a verse she had memorized from a farm. The Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This verse encouraged her as she made her journey.
Well, did she get her Bible?
Yes, she did. And the man that sold her the Bible was so moved by her story that he went on to found the British and Foreign Bible Society so that more people like Mary Jones could have access to a Bible.
Wow, we really take it for granted how easy it is for us to read the Bible today. I have a Bible on my phone, so I can take it with me anywhere.
I sometimes get a new Bible just for the nice new covers. It's crazy to think that Mary Jones had to go through so much just for one.
I wonder, would we do the same thing as Mary Jones did just to have a copy of God's Word?
That's a great question. That's what I want you girls to think about today. Do we remember how precious the Bible is? Do we understand how privileged we are to have the Word of God at our fingertips? Still today, across the world, there are people who have no access to a Bible, who take massive risks to possess even a small piece of Scripture. What would we do if we couldn't have the Bible so easily? Would we make a journey like the one Mary Jones made all those years ago? So, do you remember the verse that Mary Jones repeated to herself on her long journey?
Yes, I have recalled it. I've been listening. It was Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
Very good. That's why the Bible is so important. It's God's lamp to light the paths of our lives. Always remember that, girls.
That was excellent. Thank you very much. There was a lot to remember there, so well done. Just before we come to the final item of the children, there's a duet entitled Is There a Heart That Is Waiting by Eden Hannah and Sky Craig. Thank you, girls. It's one of the most beautiful hymns of appeal, encouraging us to seek the Lord while he passes by. Thank you. We come to the story that I'm looking forward to, because it is the story of Gypsy Smith. And this is a sketch by Sophie McCauley, Alicia Morrison, Millie Blair, Naomi Johnson, Luke McCauley, Kyle Blair, Sarah Halliday, Bethany Fletcher, Elijah Owens, Joa Owens, and Matthew McAfee.
King George calls Rodney Gypsy Smith, MBE awarded for wartime evangelistic services.
Who is this gentleman, and why are they calling him a gypsy?
Priscilla, you mean you haven't heard of Gypsy Smith, the great evangelist?
No, tell me about him.
Suppose I'll have to listen in too, then. Well, the story begins just outside London, in a place called Epping Forest, where he lived with his father Cornelius and his mother Mary.
Did they have a house in the forest?
No, gypsies lived in tents. Be patient, Priscilla, and you will hear the story.
I still miss you. Do you still enjoy playing the fiddle and the travelling?
Not really, not like I used to, but we need the money, and men are more generous when they're full of the wine. Mary, I've been doing a lot of thinking lately, and there has to be more to life than this. Last time I was in prison, the chaplain told me about Jesus Christ and read the Bible to me. I've really had no love for the tavern since, and I'd like to find out more about it.
So Gypsy Smith's father, Cornelius, did find out more, and what's more, he trusted Christ as his saviour, and not only him, but his brothers also. They became known as the converted gypsies.
I've walked every door as far as I can walk, Father, and very few folks want to buy our clothes pegs or baskets. Why can't we have proper jobs like the other folks who can read and write and live in brick houses?
The Bible tells us we are to be content with what we have, young man. Why don't you come along to the mission and hear the gospel for yourself?
Yes, Father, but I have been attending some of the meetings, and I really love to hear that man Sankey sing. I'll go with you tonight and gladly hear the gospel again.
Did Rodney trust Christ as his saviour?
Yes, indeed he did, and that night changed his life forever.
I heard he was quite the singer.
Yes, in fact he became known as the singing gypsy boy. Later he started to preach himself and saw many people saved.
Is he married? He's quite handsome, don't you think?
In fact, he married one of his converts, Annie Pennicht. They worked together with the Salvation Army for 6 years and saw thousands attend their meetings, but this work ended abruptly.
Good morning, Captain Smith. I have a message from the General. I regret to inform you that you and Mrs. Smith have been discharged from the Salvation Army.
Why, this is a surprise. What's happened?
I believe after a recent mission, you were presented with a gold watch, and Mrs. Smith a gift of £5.
Yes, the folks are really appreciative of our ministry, and many of their friends and neighbours trust it in Christ.
It's against the Army rules to accept any gifts.
We will happily return the gifts. We just didn't want to offend anyone.
I'm sorry, it's too late for that. Rules are rules. Here's a letter with our decision, which takes effect immediately.
During his time with the Salvation Army, he led over 20,000 people to Christ. But now it was time for a new start, and Rodney Gypsy Smith became an independent evangelist.
Did he travel all over England then?
Oh yes, but much further afield as well. He travelled all over Europe and visited America over 50 times. He even spent time in France during the war, witnessing and singing to the troops. He got invited to many important gatherings, but his message was always the same.
I'm delighted to be at your university today. I never went to university. They wouldn't have me. I was just a poor gypsy boy who had to teach himself how to read and write. But Christ took me, and he'll take you too. He certainly will. You don't need to go to Cambridge or Oxford. You don't need to go to Eton or Harvard or Yale. You need to go to Calvary. Yes, that's where you need to go. Will you come to Calvary today? Christ is waiting on you.
Someone once told me he said there were 5 Gospels. That can't be right.
There's only 4 in my Bible.
You're both right, actually. What he did say was there are 5 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Christian. Many people will never read the first 4.
Well, that's true. I know many people who spend their time reading Christians' lives, but they never open their Bible.
They say he never preached the Gospel, but someone came to Christ. He was even inspired invited to speak to the private gathering of New York's elite on the Fifth Avenue. Some of the famous Rockefeller family even attended.
Did all this fame not go to his head?
No, Rodney never forgot his roots and his gypsy past.
Putting up posters for the mission, young man?
Yes, sir. Have your name on them, sir.
Well, can you take them all down again?
Why, sir? I spent all day putting them up. What's wrong with them?
People don't need to hear about the world's greatest evangelist. They need to hear a poor gypsy tell them about the greatest saviour of the world.
When Gypsy Rodney Smith passed away on board the Queen Mary cruise ship on his way to America in 1947, he had led tens of thousands to Christ and preached to more people than any other evangelist.
I trust we have been challenged by his story and realise that God can use anyone, even us.
Gypsy Smith loved writing hymns and singing, and now we're going to sing.
Behold you, our Savior ever true. Oh.
want to thank the older children, these young people who took part tonight and outlined a story that's very near to my heart. Many a time I've given a very short version of that right in the midst of a gypsy camp, and we've told the children the story of Rodney Smith, Gypsy Smith, who became the great preacher. Now, I have a short message that I want to bring to you tonight. So hopefully we'll be able to see everything up in the screen here. Does anybody know what that is? Oh, wow. You are all very observant in this church. Yes?
Out there.
Out there. Does anybody know what we call it?
The hall?
Something? The fellowship area. And who's taken time to look at those pictures around the walls? Have you looked at them? Have you read them? Do you know anything about them? Do you know how many pictures there are?
No.
Wow. Maybe after the meeting is over, if somebody counts them, the first person that comes back to me with the right number, I'll get you a little prize, okay? Aye, but there's some on the other side of the wall, Charlie. Not just that. You have got to count them all the way around. Anyhow, these are the heroes of the faith. That's what we call them. And these are people that lived in church history through the centuries that were great men of God, great women of God. Some of them were missionaries. Some of them were theologians. Some of them reformers, preachers, hymn writers. And you've heard a little bit about some of them tonight. In Hebrews chapter 11 in the Bible, we read about heroes of the faith. And in that chapter, it's a chapter of faith. We're told about 16 individuals. Most of them were men, two of them were women. And these are the ones that we read about in Hebrews 11. I think most of those names you will know, all right, from the beginning of Abel and then on through the history of the Old Testament. And the Bible tells us that these all obtained a good report. Anybody do exams at school? Did you get reports recently? I saw some reports recently. Did you get a good report? Yes? Yes? No? Sort of in between. Well, these people, they got a good report because they live by faith. And it's always good to get a good report in school, but it's even better to get a good report from God. When God says you've done well, and that's what we ought to aim for. So in church history, and that's what we have out here in the fellowship area, we also have the heroes of the faith that live from Bible times. Some of these you'll recognize. So the very first one, I'm going to tell you a big word, children. It's called chronological. All right. And if you don't know what it is, I'm going to ask a teacher to tell and explain what chronological means. Wouldn't it be good to ask a teacher? Well, I'm going to tell you. It means it goes through them as they lived. So if you lived way back, it starts there with this man on the left-hand side. You'll maybe not know his name, but his name is John Wycliffe. And you've got to go back nearly 700 years. And he was involved in early translation work of the Bible. We have an English Bible today because of people like this that began to translate it into a language that we could understand. And then on the right-hand side, we have a man who was very famous in writing a commentary on the Bible. It's probably the most famous commentary in all the world. And it simply explains verse by verse what the scriptures are. Does anybody know his name? Some of the older ones might, if you have a Bible commentary. Leah, do you know? Matthew Henry. You see, Leah, you're so smart. I was going to ask Phil, because I know Phil would know. And then I was just thinking of a couple of others before I come on to what I want to say. On the left-hand side, we have a man who was a missionary. What's a missionary?
Somebody that tells people about Jesus.
Somebody that tells people about Jesus. Jaden, that's a very good answer. And you can be a missionary at home. That's what our Sunday school teachers are. They're missionaries to you. And then, of course, missionaries that go to other lands to serve the Lord. And this man went very far away. His name is William Carey, and he went to India to be a missionary. And this is a man that helped him in translation work. And then on the right-hand side, here's a man that was involved in orphanage work. He lived in Bristol in England. And when children had no mummies or daddies, their parents had died, he took them in, hundreds of them. And he lived by faith, and he fed the children by faith. And sometimes, these were hundreds of children, sometimes there was no food for them at all. But he prayed, and God sent the food at the right time. There was one occasion that somebody, a milkman, broke down. His wee cart broke down, and he couldn't go any further. Where did he break down? Outside the orphanage. And he didn't know what to do with his milk. He knocked the door and said, "Can you use it?" And of course, Mr. Mueller, he said, of course, he can use it. Now here's one. Did anybody ever see this one? And if you don't, I know who to ask. Have you ever seen this one? Because it's not downstairs. If your class is upstairs, there is one photograph, one picture upstairs. Have you seen it? Would you know where to go? Could you bring me to it? Okay, very good. This is a man, and he's maybe not as well known, but we mentioned him last night at our prayer meeting. All right, so that will give you a clue. What do you think he was involved in? You're here today probably because of this man. Sunday school. Although there were some Sunday schools before this, this man made Sunday schools famous and pioneered the work so that children could come in and be taught the Word of God. And what I want to do, just very, very quickly, and then I've got a wee thing to say at the end, I want to think about three of the great heroes of faith that are right here on the walls, and you can go and look at them afterwards. And they were all great in a certain way. Here's the first one. Does anybody know who he is? Very famous. One of the most famous people in church history. Anybody? Charles Spurgeon. All right, C.H. Spurgeon. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And he was a great what? Do you see it? A great what? Preacher. A great preacher. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was born into a very happy home. His father was a preacher. He was a minister. His mother was a very godly lady, and she read and prayed with her children every single day. And on Sunday night, after all the meetings were over, she had a special Bible study with her children. She was really devoted to them. She actually had 17 children, and 9 of them died in infancy when they were very, very small. When Charles was just 14 months old, he went to live with his grandfather. His grandfather was also a preacher, and it was a great influence in Charles's life as he grew up. He was the minister of a little church in a village, maybe not so little because there were actually 500 people that attended it. And he was a great soul winner. He won many, many, many people to Christ. They came to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And Charles was saved when he was 15. We've got some of the 15-year-olds that took part tonight. He was saved when he was 15. He was making his way to church, but he didn't make it that morning because there was a snowstorm, so he couldn't get because of the weather, and he was forced to turn into a different church. It was a little primitive Methodist church, and the weather was so bad that the minister couldn't get to the church either. So it was an old deacon of the church. He stood up. He had no preparation made, but he had a verse in his mind. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and beside me there is none else." And he just kept repeating his text, because he hadn't much to say. And then when he had said everything he thought he had to say, he says, "Young man, you look miserable enough." And he was talking to Charles sitting in the meeting, because Charles didn't look very happy. He was really concerned about his soul, and he really wanted to know how to get right with God. But children, that morning, in the mercy of the Lord, going into a different church, hearing the gospel, that was the day that Charles Haddon Spurgeon was converted. And he became a great preacher. He was a country boy, He was born in a little town called Kelvedon, and he went eventually to London, and he was the minister in the Metropolitan Tabernacle for many, many years. And every Sunday, you know, many people attended his church, 6,000 people every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. A great preacher, a great preacher. The second hero of the faith out there on the wall that I want to draw attention to is this man. And you've heard about him tonight, so I don't have to tell you too much about him. Who is he? Gypsy Smith. I couldn't speak about the heroes of the faith out there without mentioning Gypsy Smith. So the first man was a great preacher. Gypsy Smith was a great what? Can you read that word? Evangelist. And that meant he went out and he preached the gospel everywhere he went, and he actually traveled the world. And you've heard tonight how he was born in a gypsy wagon in Epping Forest, which is 6 miles northeast of London. And his mother died very, very sadly when he was just a little boy. She died with a disease called smallpox. And his father was in and out of prison, mostly because he couldn't afford to pay the fines. Whatever he had done, he was fined for those crimes, and he couldn't pay them. So into prison he went. But you heard tonight, he heard the gospel there. There was a pastor went in and shared the message of Christ. And that really troubled him. And when he got out of prison, he began to think about his need. And he eventually came to know the Lord. And that changed their home, changed their family. And now little Rodney, Gypsy Smith, little Rodney was under the sound of the gospel. And he came to know the Lord at the age of 16. All right. And his father was a great influence. Arasanke was a great influence in his singing. And also, he made a visit to the home of John Bunyan in Bedford. And those three things were the three things that really spoke to him about needing Christ as a Savior. And he got wonderfully converted to Christ. It was in a meeting in, you've maybe heard of Cambridge, have you? You heard of Cambridge in England? I don't know, is there a football team, Cambridge football team? No. It's a big city. There's bound to be a football team there. And it was in a meeting there, and when the minister came to the end, he made an appeal for anyone that would like to be saved to come forward. And this young boy came forward. You know what people were whispering? It's just a gypsy boy. But what a gypsy boy he became. He had no education. He couldn't read. He couldn't write. But he really wanted to. And so he got himself a Bible, an English dictionary, and a Bible dictionary. And he used to carry them everywhere he went. People laughed at him. This gypsy boy can't read or write, and there he's got these three big books under his arm. But you know, he did learn to read, and he did learn to write. And there was only one sermon that he ever actually wrote out because he needed information. All the time he just preached off the top of his head, the things that he had learned in his heart. A very, very remarkable man. He went over to the United States of America around 50 times. He traveled around the world, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people came to know the Lord as their Savior. There was one tour preaching the gospel he did to Australia and a few other countries when 80,000 people were converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was interesting, I was reading today that he actually preached for C.H. Spurgeon in the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And that day there were 1,200 people trusted in the Lord. So he was a great evangelist, and he won many people to the Lord. So we began with John Wycliffe, all right, and we're coming up through the centuries of time, round the wall, if you were out there in the fellowship area. And then you end up at the very end over here, and you have this lady. Now, some of you maybe have heard about her. Does anybody know who this might be? Reuben? Shout it out. Amy Carmichael. And if the first one was a great preacher and the second one was a great evangelist, what do you think Amy was? There you go. You got it right. She was a great missionary. Now, she was born in Northern Ireland. Who lives in Northern Ireland? Put your hand up. Okay, very good. Where are the rest of you from? You're very welcome wherever you're from. The rest of us are from Northern Ireland. They just don't understand Northern Ireland where they live at the moment, but that's okay. And she was born outside a little town called Malyle. If any of you have been on our Sunday school camp, and you'll hear a wee bit about that, it's outside Malyle. And that's where Amy was born. And when she was 16 years of age, she moved to Belfast, big city, capital city. And her family started a church. And they reached out particularly to the ordinary people, especially the women that worked in the mills. They called them shawlers. They were poor people. And they reached out and shared the message of the gospel. And then Amy, she moved over to England for a little time doing the Lord's work. And she went to a convention meeting, the Keswick Convention, and there she heard a great missionary talk about missionary work and the great need for missionaries. And it was a very famous missionary called Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary to China. And it was that meeting that sealed it in her heart. I believe God is calling me to be a missionary. And she did become a missionary. She went to Japan at the start for just a short time, but a year and a half, but had to come home because of ill health. But she eventually went to India. And she was greatly used by the Lord in rescuing young girls and women from a terrible life. They were taken into Hindu temples and they were made to do all sorts of things to make money. It was terrible the way that they were treated. And she rescued many of them. Sometimes she would walk along the hot, dusty roads of India that were very dangerous just to rescue one little girl from the terrible life that she was facing. And Amy Carmichael was a missionary in India for 56 years and never came home during that time to Northern Ireland. She stayed the whole time there. And she saw many, many people brought to the Lord and saved. She started a school. She started a safe house for children, young girls particularly. And she did a lot of work. So children, as you listen to some of the heroes out here of the faith, and these are just some of the wee pictures of the children that Amy worked with way out in India. My question tonight is, maybe God will make you a hero of the faith. You like hearing about heroes, don't you? And the best kind of hero that you can be is a hero of the faith. And maybe you will grow up to be a great preacher or a great evangelist or a great missionary. You might just stay at home and be a faithful Sunday school teacher, and that's a wonderful work. But maybe God has great things for some of the children of our Sunday school, and I pray that that will be so. You might become one of these, a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary. But there's something very important before that happens. There's something that you need before you receive a good report, having lived by faith. You need this. What does it say? Saving faith. Before you can live by faith and do things for God by faith, like Hebrews 11, the people there did, like these other great heroes of the faith out there, you need to be saved. You need saving faith. And that's faith that brings you to Christ and saves your soul. So here's four verses of Scripture that are very important if you are to know what it is to have saving faith. These are memory verses. You'll know them. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does the word all mean? What does it mean? Everybody. Everybody in this church tonight, from the smallest to the oldest, everybody in Ballymoney, everybody in Northern Ireland, everybody in the United Kingdom, Europe, all the continents of the world. And there's 8 billion people in the world. The Bible says all have sinned and they have come short of the glory of God. The glory of God is God's perfect standard. Nobody matches the standard of God. Nobody is able to keep the law and the commandments perfectly. We have all come short, some more than others. Some are way down there and some are maybe up there. But we have one thing in common. We don't make it. And we're all sinners before God. The second text is this. The wages of sin is death. Does anybody know what wages are? What are wages? Money. Okay, so your mom, dad, someone in the family might work for a week, a month, or whatever, and at the end of that period of time, they will get wages for what they've done, the work that they've done. And God tells us in his word that the wages, the payment for our sin, is death. One day we're going to die. It just doesn't mean physical death. It's death eternal, the Bible tells us. And that's what we deserve. That's what I deserve because of my sin. The third text is this. Does anybody know this verse of Scripture from Ephesians chapter 2? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Who knows that verse? Okay, some of you have learned it. Is Jonathan here tonight? Jonathan McCauley, I saw him somewhere. Jonathan, is Ivor here tonight? Ivor Buick, no? No. Oh, Ivor's away. Jonathan, do you remember this photograph? I'm putting you on the spot now. Do you remember where we were? What country were we in? Nepal. Okay, Nepal's near China and India, okay? So you've got India to the south, you've got China to the north, and there's this little piece of ground that's called Nepal. And we were over there many, many years ago, and we were walking along one of the roads, and we saw this little girl with her little sister. Does anybody know what she's doing? Anybody know what she's doing? Feeding. She would like to be, but she wasn't. She's begging. She got her hand out. And we saw a lot of this. We saw a lot of children. We saw a lot of adults, too. And they were very poor people, and they had no food, and they had no money to buy food. And they were just sitting there begging, and it's very hard to walk past. And so we got this little girl some food. And that's a good thing to do. It's good to be charitable. It's good to be kind, especially to those that are underprivileged. They don't have the same things as we have. But that'll never get you to heaven, no matter how good we are. By grace are you saved. It's not yourselves. It's not your works. So you understand what we're saying tonight? The Bible says we're sinners. The wages of our sin is death. We're saved by grace. It's not the works. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. My fourth text is this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that whosoever is just like the word all. It means the same thing. It means anyone. For whosoever, you could put your name there, shall do what? Call on the Lord. He's the only one that can bring us salvation. He's the one that died on the cross to save us from our sins. And if we call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says we shall be saved. Now, in our Sunday school, children will learn how to become a Christian. That's very important. They will learn how to live as a Christian. And they will also learn how to witness as a Christian, that they might be a good example and even bring others to Christ. I finish tonight by just simply saying this. You can become a Christian right now. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, if you never trust in him, whether you're a child or a parent or anybody in this meeting, you can become a Christian tonight. And that's the great message. The Lord can save you now. And if you call upon his name, the promise is you shall be saved. If anyone needs any information, you want to talk to me or any of the teachers, come and speak to us. We're here to help and to show you the way of salvation and the way to heaven. Thank you for listening. You were absolutely super. And we trust that God will bless this little message to your heart tonight. We have a hymn. For sake of time, we'll sing one verse. And it says, come to the Savior, make no delay. And that's what you need to do tonight. Come to him. And after we sing this verse, we're going to hand it over to Wesley. He has some things to tell us. And we want to thank Wesley. He's our Sunday school superintendent. And he oversees the work of the Sunday school every week. He oversees the Sunday school social tonight. We want to thank him. We want to thank the team of Sunday school teachers that do this work very faithfully every single week. Thank you in the Lord's name. You're labor is appreciated. Thank you. Just to change our position.
Hey, boys and girls, mums and dads, everyone else, you've been very patient and very good tonight. It's been a long night. We have a lot of classes to go through the programme, but I really enjoyed everything the boys and girls did tonight, and I want to congratulate them and say thank you, and I think we should give them another round of applause because they really did so well. I want to thank Reverend Park for bringing his message tonight. It was very interesting about all those heroes of the faith. And, you know, you should take a walk out around the fellowship area and have a good look at all the individuals there. I want to thank our Sunday school teachers, especially for all the work that they've put into making tonight possible. It doesn't just happen, even on the night, sometimes it doesn't just happen, but it certainly doesn't happen if we don't put all the work in beforehand, and we really appreciate everything that they do. And for everyone who helps out in Sunday school, the bus drivers, the bus conductors, we really want to thank you for all that you do. And for tonight, we want to thank Clifford and the media team upstairs. I think it's Ben and Toby and Johnny up there for doing their work as well. And of course, for Aileen and Melanie, where are you there, for putting together all the musical items. We thank you for that. Now, before we move on to get our supper tonight, I want to talk for a wee minute about our Sunday school camp. And I want to show you a few pictures of our Sunday school camp last year. Every year we take away about 40 kids and a few adults. We go up to Malyle, that place where Amy Carmichael's from. And there was last year's group. Okay, see if you can see yourself there. These are all your kids. We take them away for 3 days and we look after them really, really well. We push them down a big slippy slide and get them all wet, and they have loads of fun. We make sure that they're carefully looked after and don't fall and all that type of thing. We even give them guns and teach them how to shoot each other. And there's some of them take it very, very seriously. And we tell them to climb over walls and all those things that, you know, we say, don't do this at home. Hang from ropes. And we always make sure there's a rope attached whenever the crates fall. But, you know, the boys and girls really enjoy it. They have a really good time, lots of fun, and well, there's somebody that's happy anyway. And we feed them as well. And this is them getting their healthy lunch. No, it's actually the tuck shop. We have a tuck shop and the boys and girls can enjoy some treats. We just open it at certain times of the day and they're able to buy sweets and drinks. But we do, this is just at bedtime here when they get some toast. I think the plate's empty, but they get some toast and some juice just before going to bed at night. Oops, skipped ahead there. And here is, now I'm not sure about that face, whether that is a reflection on the sausage rolls and the curly fries or not, but ready to start into their lunch. But you know, the best part of the camp for me is that time when we can spend with the boys and girls on site at Ganaway, there's this little church, it's called The Beacon, and we're able to go in there and have our morning devotions and our meetings in the evening, and we all take part in teaching the boys and girls about the Word of God, and we really enjoy that. That really is the most important part of our camp, and we do some practical lessons here. Andrew's illustrating a Bible lesson in a practical way. And our pastor, of course, is always there to make sure, keep us on the straight and narrow. And he takes part in bringing God's word to us as well. That was actually the Sunday morning. And now we had another special visiting speaker. And this is the Reverend Josh Muffet, as you've never seen him before. You see, he thought he was going to Malaysia, but I think he thought he was going to Spain. But he was our special speaker, and he came to speak to us as well. And then in the evening, we gathered around the campfire, and we were able to sing some choruses together and have a really good time. We sat there till it was dark. The photograph's taken while it's still clear, but we sat there until it was dark and then made our way back home again. So I'm showing you all these pictures because tonight I want to introduce the camp again. This year it is the 23rd to the 25th of August, and the forms are out tonight. They're available, they're on the table in the porch, and it's for kids from 7 years and above. The price is £90, and that's, well, it's very heavily subsidised by our church committee, and we really appreciate that. And if you want to go pick up one of these forms tonight, get it filled in, get it back to us with your deposit, because the numbers are limited, we can only take so many, and it's always first come, first served. Okay, so that's just a wee reminder about our Sunday school camp. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to go and get something to eat. It's been a long night, but we used to have our prize giving on the night of our social, and you can imagine how much longer it would have been if we did that. But we're not going to have a prize giving. We'll keep that until Children's Day. But tonight we've got some little bags here, goodie bags for the boys and girls, and they will get them on their way out. And boys and girls, they're staple closed, and that's for a reason. We want you to keep them closed until you get home. You have a wee peep inside, but keep them closed until you get home, and then you can enjoy the good things that are inside. Okay. So for our tea, the tea for the adults will be held in the fellowship area, but we want all the boys and girls to go to the church hall, and you will be served your refreshments there. So if you go out through this door here, I'll give you one of the goodie bags on the way past, and not just yet, we have to give thanks for the food yet, but you go out through this door, you'll get a goodie bag, and then make your way to the church hall where some of our teachers will be there to make sure you get something to eat. Okay, so before we do that, we need to give thanks to God. We need to close in prayer and thank Him for the food that we're going to enjoy in just a couple of minutes. So let's all bow our heads, let's all close our eyes, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for all that has taken place tonight. We thank Thee for the help given to the boys and girls. We thank Thee for the messages that were contained and all the pieces that they brought to us tonight. And we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy word that was brought to us by the Reverend Park. We thank Thee for the heroes of the faith. And, oh Lord, we pray that there will be boys and girls in this gathering here tonight that will go on to be great preachers, great evangelists, and great missionaries. And, Lord, that Thou wilt use them. And, oh Lord, we pray most of all for the boys and girls who know Thee not as their Saviour. O Lord, as yet they haven't trusted Thee. We pray that You will speak to them and bring them unto Thyself. O Lord, we thank Thee for the food that has been prepared for us. We pray that You'll bless it to us and bless this time of fellowship that we have together. For we ask it for Thy name's sake. Amen. Okay, boys and girls, if we can go out a row at a time, just hold on. We'll go from the front a row at a time out through the door, and we'll get you something on the way past.